Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, this week, another fabulous EWAB show for you on Monday night. Our guest is going to be David Kaye. He is a big-time recognizable voice you hear in animation and promo and lots of other stuff. He's everywhere, and he'll be right here on our show.
He is the man. I'm in the middle of building a studio for him. I'm really proud of it, so we'll be able to share a little bit of the progress of our project. I'll talk about audio interfaces. Not very exciting, yes, but a very important part of the studio. It's really crucial to your signal chain, and I'll explain what it does, why you need one, and what features to look out for.
And in my tip of the week, we'll be talking about file formats. Nothing more confusing than that on everybody's list.
That's for sure. And we'll also take your viewer questions, so keep sending those things in to ewabshop@gmail.com.
We'll answer them right here. That's East West Audio Body Shop, now on Monday nights at 9 in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Boy, my voice sounds a lot better all of a sudden. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing what a few days can do to heal a voice.
I something weird's going on with my throat. You know, it's either a virus or who knows what it is. You know, all those years working in the shipyards.
my father was in a shipyard and sits all day.
You remember
exactly.
That one?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we're here on East West Audio Body Shop like we are every Monday night, 9 o'clock here in the East and 6 o'clock out for you guys on the West Coast.
What is that thing in your hands? I'm taking it away from you. Through the camera, what is the thing that you're flicking in your hands?
You mean?
That thing. Get rid of it. I can hear it all the way across the country.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I have these nervous little habits.
No, I know. I'm the same way.
I mean, if you saw the crap that's on my desk.
Dude, totally. I'm right there with you. Except I have a triple layer desk, so I have three levels of crap.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a wonderful show for you tonight, like we do every Monday night. Would you expect us to put on crap? I mean, we're surrounded by crap, but you think we're going to put on crap?
We do our best to avoid the crap quotient as much as possible.
That's true. I wonder what's the equation for that? Never mind. No. We've got David Kaye supposedly with us tonight. We're hoping that he will be joining us via Skype or smoke signals or whatever in about half an hour or so. We've got all sorts of other cool stuff. We're going to answer some of your questions tonight. I mean, I have a feeling we're going to get to that tonight for some reason.
Good, good.
And let's see, I have something on file formats. But you got a really important one that we want to talk about because it's how we're able to do what us voice actors can do in our home studios, and that's dealing with audio interfaces.
That's
Take
right. Audio interfaces. Again, not the most glamorous thing in the world, but a super important part of your studio. And, you know, here's the thing. You can spend a lot of money on audio interface. And, okay, let me take a step back. What is an audio interface? An audio interface is that device that goes from an analog audio signal that comes out of a mic or a mic preamp and converts it into data that your computer will record. And it's usually plugged in via USB or FireWire, or some of us have older PCs. We might have a card that fits in the computer, a PCI card. And so audio interface obviously is a key part of the equation, and it has to be reliable. It has to be low noise, and it just has to be simple. And you wouldn't believe how hard it is to find one that fulfills all three of those requirements. Reliable, simple, and what was the third one? What are the three branches of government? Never mind. So anyway, there are devices that need to do a simple job, but it seems simple on the surface, but are actually is pretty complicated. It's got a, in many cases, these devices are doing multiple jobs for us, right? It used to be that to plug a microphone into a computer required multiple devices. We're talking a mic preamp, which converted the output of a microphone into a higher signal that could be recorded. Then from the mic preamp, you had to go into usually an audio mixer of some sort so that you could monitor the mic preamp. Then out of the mixer, you had to go into an analog to digital converter. That takes the analog signal and converts that into a digital signal the computer can understand. Then you had to go into an interface that could connect that into the computer. So you had a lot of boxes involved, a lot of devices, and a lot of money. Now you only need a simple thing like this little USB pre made by Art. And I show this one because it's very small, it's very inexpensive, and it just kind of works. It's not fancy, but it does the job. And it's got mic preamps built in with independent gain controls for two microphone inputs. And on the back, it's got outputs for studio monitors. It's got a headphone jack right here. It's got a blend control to monitor, control which you're monitoring more, yourself or the computer. It's got a headphone volume control. It's got a USB jack. And it's got a power button. Well, why does it have a power button? It's not even plugged in the computer. Why? How is that even possible that it has a power button? Well, this thing is really unique because it even has a battery inside. Ooh. It's got a 9-volt battery that will run this device on battery and phantom power. So it actually doubles as a portable mic preamp. So this thing is a really amazing all-in-one device for about $80. So don't expect miracles from something that inexpensive, but this is going to provide you a lot of utility. Another reason why I like some of these simple devices that are USB that just plug and go. Oh, and yes, it is USB powered, by the way. Devox said, is it not USB powered? Yes, it is USB powered also. So it's double whammy. This will even work with an iPad or an iPhone using one of these little lightning port adapters. Pretty universal little device. But another thing I like about the simpler units is they don't require any special drivers, special software that make them communicate with a computer, control panels, all sorts of stuff that you have to play around with. And the reason I'm not a big fan of those is they seem to always be the one thing that gets in the way between your system being reliable and being more frustrating to keep online. Those control panels, like the Apogee Duet and the Apogee One uses, they have this thing called Maestro. If there's anything that can be frustrating to the user, it's that software control panel. It's got a lot of functions. It can be a little confusing to use sometimes. And sometimes settings will get changed that you don't realize were changed that are buried into like 3 or 4 menus. So I'm not a big fan of that. I like devices where every function is a knob or a button or something right on the box that can be changed. And that's in the world of Mac, they call it a core audio compliant device, one that can just plug and play. That's something I really like. So just because Anthony asked, how does it compare with the iTrack Solo? Well, I've got one of those right here too.
So do I.
I bought it on one of those ridiculous, you must be insane not to buy the sales from some company online. And now I'm insane because I never used it, but at least I have it. But how does it compare? I think it's very comparable. Have I had a chance to do an A-B test between the two and really compare them in regards to sound quality and stuff? Not yet. I will get around to it.
But I think we need to do that on the show.
I think we do. But I will say that one thing that's a little bit more kludgy about the Focusrite is that fact that to run it on an iPad or an iPhone, you have to plug in both a USB cable to power the device and then this special proprietary device link cable that then plugs into your device. So you have to have two cables plugged in and you have to have a method of powering the device, right? So it's extra connectors that you have to use. Whereas this little USB pre made by Art, because it's self-powered by a 9-volt battery, no extra power supply needed, no wall wart, nothing. It'll run right plugged into any iPad, at least the ones I've tried. So that's kind of cool. On the other end of the spectrum, from a more complicated standpoint, and a reason why I'm not a big fan of these higher-end devices, here's one made by Echo. And this, the reason Echo. I have, yeah, Echo. The reason I have this is because Bo Weaver gave this to me to try. They sent it to him as a demo unit. So the serial number is P16, which I think it means like pre-release or something. It's a beta piece. It's a really cool device, and it's all touch screen, and all these buttons light up, and you touch this, touch that. But again, while it provides all those functions and a lot more, it does require that proprietary software, which just in my experience just makes it that much more frustrating to use. So I like to stick with the more simple devices. Our job is to just convert analog to digital. If you're using it as a preamp, as is available in the iTrack and the USB pre, then you've got a very simple device that does a lot of different jobs at the same time. And I think that makes your life so much easier, right, Dan?
Absolutely.
You got an Apogee One there.
I have everything here. I mean, I'm not even running through my Focusrite 2i2. We run it through a Eureka, a Personas Eureka with a digital SPDIF output, which is also a digital interface. But yeah, that's a really nice one. You'd think I would use that, but no, I believe in really clean sound. So I'm going with the 2i2, which I really, really like. And I have the iTrack Solo, which is a wonderful little unit for, you know, running your iPad. Yeah. And I have the Apogee One.
The original one,
The original one. They've got a new one now that I guess interfaces with an iPad, so that's kind of cool as well.
The One iOS or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, I have backup to back up my backup. I also have my Apogee mic, which works great as a backup.
That's an audio interface inside a microphone.
a little tiny little audio interface in here.
Even with a game control,
Yeah, it's amazing what these devices can do. If, 10 years ago, who would have thought it? It was cool to have a Personas Mobile Pre, and those things were actually pieces of junk. They're a little better now, but the stuff now is just so superior, and it sounds so good and so easy to use. And all you really need, all the processing you need, is in your software. But we talk about that another time. But
yeah.
Interfaces. Can't live with them. Or without them. Exactly. That's something else, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this little thing, the Tascam IXZ, that does not really count as an audio interface. Why? Because all it does is go from a microphone into a headphone jack. And while it does bring audio into an iPhone or an iPad, it's
totally analog.
It's totally analog, and it's still having to go through the analog mic preamp of the iPhone. So it's kind of a weak link. I have tested it on a previous show, and it was pretty impressive, but not quite the same. So anywho, actually, I think we got David K just popped up in Skype. Yay!
Hey, so we know we'll be talking to David K.
Yeah, so I'll hook up with him over the break, make sure everything's cool.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I think it's time that we take a break.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. More stuff coming your way and our way. There's always stuff in the way here. But we'll be right back here at East West Audio Body Shop. Don't go away.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Wow, right on the downbeat. That was pretty good.
Hey, how about that?
Hey.
Hey, we're professional. We professional show right. business.
That's right. Well, David Kay will be with us in just a little bit, and he's an interesting guy and doing some fascinating stuff. I mean, just about everything. But we got other stuff going on here, too. We're going to be answering some of your questions a little bit later on because you guys have been asking questions, and that's why we're here. That's why we were originally here.
That's why we started the show.
That's why we started the show. Mm-hmm. It's so we can help you with your home studios. And I can see that you guys are having your own discussions in there. You're having your own little talk shop in there.
But that's why George the chat room is so fun.
I know. I mean, we like to talk shop, and that's how we actually got the show going, is people just wanted to hear us talk shop.
That's right.
Fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like nobody understands it. What, these guys seem to know what they're talking about. Anyway.
Acting. Genius. Thank
you. I told you you'd learn this stuff after a while. All righty. It only took 106 episodes. Well, we've got my tip of the week, and we'll go to that right now, and we'll talk about it afterwards. So,
okie dokie.
Talk about file formats. Almost everyone is familiar with the most commonly used file formats for audio. Let's see, WAV, AIFF, and MP3. But what about AAC and WMV? What's the purpose of the existence of these separate formats, and why do they extend the list of all these available formats to save as? Is there any real difference between which extension a particular file is saved, as long as it's appropriate for the media being saved? You know, you guys ask a lot of questions, but I believe I should probably provide some answers because that's why you click in every week. Okay, so here's a guide to file formats. First, some technical jargon. File format, a specific way to encode data that is to be saved as a file. Please note that the file format doesn't do any encoding on its own. The encoding is left up to the codecs. Okay, what's a codec? A codec is a program or algorithm that encodes or decodes data to convert a file between these different formats. The popular media codecs are generally for shrinking a file, what we call file compression, not to be confused with audio compression. Bitrate. Okay, bitrate is the number of bits processed per second by your computer. To put things into perspective, MP3s have a bitrate of about 128 kilobytes per second. While CDs generally have bit rates around 1.4 megabits per second. Sample rate. Sample rate is the number of samples of audio carried per second, measured in hertz or kilohertz, 1 kilohertz being 1,000 hertz. For example, 44,100 samples per second can be expressed as either 44 1,000 hertz or 44.1 kilohertz. Bandwidth. Now, bandwidth is the difference between the highest and lowest frequencies carried in an audio stream. The sample rate of playback or recording determines the maximum audio frequency that can be reproduced. Okay, now that I've sufficiently lost you, let's explain audio file formats. Okay, AIFF and WAV. These are both uncompressed, lossless formats, which means it takes about 10 megabytes to save about a minute's worth of audio. AIFF was developed for Apple's operating system, and WAV for PCs, although both formats are compatible with both operating systems. WAV is the format preferred by PC-wielding audiophiles. Mac users are supposed to use the AIFF file format, but guess what? It seems to make no difference. AAC. AAC is Apple's default audio format. AAC is a lossy compression scheme that was developed to replace MP3, but never achieved the prominence that MP3 has with listeners. Some argue that AAC produces the same quality audio at 96 kilobytes per second as an MP3 does at 128 kilobytes per second. But with recent developments in MP3 codecs, particularly LAME, MP3s have performed far better in listening tests against AAC than in previous years. Nevertheless, when it comes to a sound quality to file size ratio, AAC beats MP3. But try and tell your clients that. Okay, what is an MP3? An MP3 is a form of file compression. It's an acronym that stands for MPEG-1 Audio Layer 3. And how does it work? As a form of compression, MP3 is based on a psychoacoustic model which recognizes that the human ear cannot hear all the audio frequencies on a recording. The human hearing range is between 20 Hz and 20 kHz. When a sound is compressed into an MP3 file, an attempt is made to get rid of the frequencies that can't be heard. As such, this is known as destructive compression. After a file is compressed, the data that you get rid of on an MP3 can't be replaced. When encoding a file into MP3, a variety of compression levels can be set. For instance, an MP3 created with 128 kilobyte compression will be of greater quality and larger file size than one with 56 kbit compression. But the more the compression level decreases, the lesser the sound quality. For example, with waves, have you ever done any telephony where you have to compress to an 8-bit wave EULAW?
It ends up sounding like this.
So, why do clients ask for different formats? It depends on the end use and the end user. Even though you now know that any format will probably work on some other video production software that your client may be using, for the most part, they may not and are stuck in their ways of doing things. Although, truth be told, some older programs they might be using may not be compatible. Bottom line, until they figure it out, give them what they ask for. And that's my tip of the week. Yeah, those old computers. Well, I'll tell you something. I deal with clients all day long, and I find that they just trust me, and they know what they think I know what I'm doing. So it's usually an MP3. I had a session this morning. I'm like, would you like it as an AIFF? Would you like it as an MP? No, just send me the raw WAV file. Well, this was a half hour session. You know, it's like, okay, so now we get to talk about Dropboxes and FTPs, and some Dropboxes can't take something that big. Oy.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm using like four. That's a whole nother topic. I'm using at least four different file syncing devices at this point.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's necessary because you got to be able to move different files.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's file formats. Hopefully I didn't bore you to tears with that as much as I bored myself to tears with it.
Well, we got an informal poll going here. People are saying, what bit rate do you use to send your MP3s? And, I'm still of the camp of 190 or 128 mono MP3 is pretty darn good. Make sure that when you save your MP3, if there's a quality adjustment, like in Twisted Wave, you do actually have a choice of low to best quality or high.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Twisted Wave, and I got to talk to Thomas about this. Thomas, if you're paying attention, you're probably busy, but make sure that it saves to the default quality is zero or the best possible quality, because there actually is an audible difference between zero and two quality, which is what says recommended. When I get a client sends me a file, I immediately can tell when they've used that lower quality setting. So not all 128 kilobit per second MP3 mono files are created equal, depending on the quality of the encoder. So yeah, you can go to 192, 160. It doesn't ACX use 192 MP3?
Something like that.
You know, there's so many, and you know, discussions. I could do a whole nother thing about bit rate but bit depth. Well, that came up last week.
We got a topic for next week.
Sweet. Write it down.
All right.
Anybody keeping track? Who's taking notes? Anybody in the chat room? Everything I say right now will be forgotten in about an hour and a half, about a half
That's
hour.
Right. That's right. So anyway, we had this one question that we've been like mulling over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty simple thing. So let's see, what was that about? Somebody sent us a file and said, there's a thump in there.
Yeah, hello, Dan and George. This is Alex, and he says, I've got a file that has a weird sound in it. It sounds like an electronic click. When I open the file in Adobe Audition, I can see the click in the waveform. Can you tell me what is causing this? And, okay, so I can tell him what's causing this. Well, what did you find out, Dan? Because you took a look at it.
I listened to it, and I immediately saw that there was, you know, when I look at it, I will look at the waveform, I will microscopically zoom in on it and go, oh, it's a dropout. There was no dropout there. There was clearly something there. It was something physical. And what it usually is, and I think everybody has this problem, I think it depends on perhaps your ethnicity more than anything else, the size of your nasal cavity.
Ah.
And sometimes what happens is when you breathe out at the very end of a word, which a lot of us do, it all has to do with breath control, there will be an audible thump.
Right.
And I wrote back to him. I said, I think it's just that. He goes, no, it happens, you know, here and then there. I said, is it intermittent? Yeah. All right. I don't see anything electronic with it. So I think that it's just a nose thump.
Well, here's what it sounds like. Let's see if you guys can actually hear this when I play this back. Nope. Let's not use that output.
What? No.
Because that output creates a nice crazy loopback. So let's change the output and twist a wave to the that one, and let's try that.
The Bank of Illinois.
You can hear it right there on bank.
The Bank of Illinois.
It's like bank of Illinois, kind of like that, right?
That is so much a nasal thing. But yeah. Some people don't want to believe it's there because their microphones are so sensitive,
right?
That they can't believe that it's actually them. That it's got to be something physical. Their microphone is breaking down. That is a nasal snort if I ever heard one.
Yep, and, it sure is.
And auto heal is a great way to fix that.
Indeed.
I do it all the time. So, there, we haven't done that in a while.
I know.
We'll probably get solved.
We got more of those coming, so send them in. We love answering those kind of questions.
Yeah, and send in your audio to either Dropbox at either one of George's site or my site, or at ewebshop@gmail.com, and let's take a listen to your audio and see what your problem is.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, David Kay is going to be joining us in just a minute, and we're going to have a great time with him. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
We're back.
All right. We are actually back. This is my front. This is my back. But we're back. And we have our guest with us right now, David Kay. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. How you guys doing?
We're doing fabulous. Good. Nice. It's nice and warm all over the country. Excellent. If you're watching us in Australia, you're freezing your tuchus off. So anyway, welcome to the show. Now, you've been doing a lot of cool stuff lately, and we'll get into that. But your guy, you came out of radio.
Yeah.
Tell me about your radio career.
It was it was a miracle. I thought anybody hired me based on what I sounded like way back when I was in high school, and I was doing the announcements in high school, and I was also working at a pro shop, the YMCA, in my hometown, and the morning guy on the local station, CKPT, worst call letters in the entire universe. You couldn't make them sound cool. Not even PT wanted. It didn't even say. Couldn't do anything with it. But it was the guy is John Mary Scene, and he used to come in to the Y all the time. And I used to run the pro shop and sell squash rackets and various stuff. And I was a young kid, and I was enthralled because he was the local celebrity in town. You know, he was the guy. And I was interested in radio, and I was in the 11th grade at that time. ready to go into the 12th grade. And he said, why don't you swing by the radio station and Rick Johnson will give you a tour and we'll bring you in. And, you know, and I went in and I met everyone and I was immediately the cart decks and the lights and that time, of course, the turntables. And I was blown away by it all. And they gave me a shot doing overnights. They had me read some copy on a cassette. And I thought it was horrible, but they gave me one guy gave me a shot. And that's how it's been through my career at different things. And I was doing overnight weekends on a local radio station. That was, I don't know when that was, wow, that was a long time ago. 82 maybe?
Ah, sounds familiar. Same timing here.
Man, it's all about that shot.
Yeah.
It is. Being in the right place in the right time.
Yeah. So that's how it all started. And I started doing characters and I started mimicking David Letterman bits. And I had one caller one night say, called up and said, hi, CKBT, what can I get on for you? Stop doing David Letterman. And he hung up and it crushed me. So I had to come up with my own stuff. And that started the whole, whole thing.
Yeah. So when did you make the transition from radio? I mean, many of us are recovering radio announcers. Yeah. When did you make the jump into doing freelance voice work?
It started when I got into Vancouver, and of course, the morning zoo, the zoo format, the Scott Shannon, the Z100 started, and we're all, you know, that happened, and we were doing the zoo in Vancouver. It was the LG Morning Zoo with Dean Hill Hatch and Constable Bob and me, and I was starting to write songs and write comedy, and it was funny. It was, you know, it was 5:30 in the morning, and the first thing I'd hear, I get the headphones on, and it's Dean go, okay, people, all right, let's be funny, people, let's be funny. And Dave, what are you? And I'm thinking, oh, it's 5:30. Hang on. I have to figure out, like, give me a chance to wake up, for God's sake. And we used to come up with songs. One was Cowboy Dick, was this, howdy, boys and girls. You know, we read a little song about the dead chicken or something, and we'd do that. And some other character we'd develop. And this sort of started this whole routine of characters. And then I went to this silly sort of modeling workshop commercial thing I thought I'd go to because I was kind of bored. And the modeling side, I think if you had one eye in the middle of your forehead, you know, is, well, you know what? You could do print. You know, you should sign the contract. And they said, but the commercial side, where I had to actually learn lines and read stuff for on camera, I got a kick out of that. And I met my first agent at that time. He was still a close friend today. He lives out in Palm Desert. And that started this whole thing. And then it was maybe... it was 89, I think it was, and he called and he said, look, I'd like to be your agent. I said, okay. He said, well, no. He said, think about it. I said, no, I've thought about it. That's fine. I don't know what we do, but let's do it. And that was the conversation. Jeez. And then he called 2 weeks later and said, do you do voices? And I said, yeah, sure. I got an audition for G.I. Joe, the Great American Hero. Deek Animation was up there doing stuff. And I ended up booking the role of General Hawk about 6-8 weeks later. So it's really...
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it started.
So you and Bill Ratner were voicing on the same cartoon at the same time?
Was he on G.I.? Yeah, it was 89-90. That's when, God bless him, he was still alive. He played, you know... Yo, Joe, what's his name? Chris Latta.
Oh, okay.
Chris Latta was still doing the series, and I wish he was still around. He was an incredible talent. He was doing the voice of Cobra Commander at the time, and he was in L.A., and some of the cast was up north. And I was just doing that quick, follow me toward the danger sort of voice, and that started I got really disinterested in radio, and I really wanted to do that because it was like kindergarten again with all these my buddies. And, you know, it was fun.
Yeah. I think there's probably nothing more fun than really working with a lot of other voice actors when you're working. I mean, when you're isolated, it can be kind of tough, and it's fun to be around other people and being creative and ad-libbing and stuff. So I can see the attraction there.
In this box here, sometimes you sit here day, you know, for an hour and I'm all alone.
Mm-hmm. You are in a box right now.
Yeah.
I am a box. But yeah, with the group and the horseshoe, it's like a radio play. It's a lot of smiles and laughs, and it's the funnest job in the world. Really, really, really fortunate.
Now you've been very successful at doing video game voices, and I mean, that's an interesting one to do. I mean, I've done a few video game voices. Everybody wants to be able to do that because that's still a growing marketplace. When did they start using really good actors like yourself? And start using those on video.
They used
games.
To be really, really bad.
Really bad. Really bad.
Because you remember this was the video game voiceover about over a decade ago. That was it. And then they started making. It was like when we first started doing Ratchet and Clank. It was a cartoon. It was a show. It was writing, and it was the characters had personality, and it was a through story. And that's when I realized that was, I guess, when we started doing the first Ratchet and Clank. That was the first big game I was involved in. The film comes out in a couple of years now. It's great. And it's these are characters, and it's like no different. And so when people are playing the games, they want to feel involved. I hear my son sometimes say, he'll comment on the voice or he's heard in some game, and him and his friends will, I hate that guy that does that thing. And so they listen to the voice.
Is that what your son sounds like?
Yeah. I hate that guy that does that thing. It's annoying. I don't want to sound annoying, so I'm trying to please my son every time I'm doing a game. But it has to be, you know, real, like a cartoon or like a real person or... it's a whole industry is just exploding even more so today.
Probably had something to do with the technology of the games themselves getting better, right? Because sound quality was getting better and surround sound was starting to come into play. And it was, all of a sudden, it wasn't just playing games on crappy headphones or computer speakers. It was playing games on 60-inch TVs and home theater systems.
Yeah. Now it makes a big difference, and it's the writing. It's the right again. The writing. Our writers amaze me. I'm starting to try and dabble in writing because that's where, to me, I mean, that's where a lot of the major talent is. And if you read something and it just feels like it's no work at all, and you look at it's oh my gosh, that's so easy. And if you're reading some copy that's a little clunky, it makes a difference. These guys are, you know, writers. And I love writers.
Yeah. Now you've done a couple of big films here. I mean, now one of the things that I wanted to mention here is you were very active with the Transformers.
Yeah.
Now in the original one, you played Megatron.
Well, the G1 version that was in the '80s. Peter Cullen and Frank, of course, Frank Welker, Optimus and Megatron. In the early '90s, mid '90s, when they rebooted the franchise again. I was cast as Megatron, leader of the Predacons. Excellent, yes. You know, that's a big dinosaur. And that was the most fun. Sue Blue was directing, and it was an incredible cast and tons of fun. We had no idea that this type of animation would just take off. And I think it was, what was the company up in Vancouver that was doing it? Their Rainmaker is a company now doing stuff. It was an offshoot of that. I'll think of it in a second, but they started doing animation, and this was something pretty special. We all realized, and then and that began sort of a 15. It's coming in on 20 years, 2016 in a relationship with the franchise, and I did a few versions more of Megatron in different series, and then at Cartoon Network here in LA, they cast me as Optimus, which is a real shock because I hadn't played the good guy for quite a while.
So you played the bad guy and the good guy.
Yeah, it's
that's cool.
It's fun. I got confused the first few episodes because every time Sue Blue would say, "Okay, now Megatron," I go, "Oh yeah, it's on me." It was Corey Burton's Megatron and my Optimus, and that was just what a cast and a lot of fun. So
yeah. I bet it was probably a lot of fun doing those in the studio. Were you working with the other actors at the same time, or
it was great. It was me. It was Corey Burton on my left. Bill Fekovecki, of course, plays.
Cripes!
You know, like, hey, SpongeBob. You know, it was Kevin Michael Richards was also in. Tom Kenny was to my right. Was Starscream, and it was Tara Strong.
They're all on my wall behind me right now, by the way.
It's just unbelievable. They're all we had such a great time, and the cool thing about recording a cartoon in Los Angeles is that when they see that the cast breakdown, you get in the morning, you see the cast, and it would say a certain character, Weird Al Yankovic, and you go, oh, they're looking for a Weird Al type character sound. Well, you walk in, and there's Weird. He's sitting right there. I go, oh right, they live here. I forgot.
Yeah.
it's a thrill for me to meet these guys as well when they come in on the show.
Well, I got a satellite when you can get the real deal.
Yeah.
Really?
That's neat. Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, that's hitting the heights. That's the best people of the best, and that must have been an absolute riot. But now you're doing a lot of promo work and imaging work and stuff like that, and you have to have a home studio like the rest of us. So you're now in the process of building one. Tell us about it.
It's I've been in this box you see behind me for quite a while now, and. I had the good fortune of meeting George through another friend of mine, Howard Kogan, and of course I knew George's name from the industry. People that's pointed me in his direction for years if I needed someone to do anything, and I finally had a project. We bought a house in Toluca Lake and had a perfect spot for a guest house. And the main thing of this is that when I go out there, I guess probably another month and a half or so, maybe we'll be in there working a month and a half, a couple months. But I want it to feel like I play squash down at the LA Athletic Club, and there's a third floor area there, which is sort of the library. It's like dark woods, if you get kind of a cigar or clubby type feel. And this house was built in 1942, and I wanted to retain that feel. So when I go into work, I don't want to see wires, I don't want to see anything. All I want to see is a microphone, and I display a couple of my old radios and toys. And like a club chair. I want to feel like I'm sort of relaxing, if you want to call it that.
Yep.
when I'm working, that's the feel I want.
You want it to be as stark a contrast from being inside that box as possible.
Oh my, yeah. And you know, being soundproof, and I like because during the day you're always on, you're going, your mind is working. I want to be able to go in there and also shut off,
right?
Just not think about anything, or you know, pull up a good book and crack a cold one or a glass of wine and sit with that and be quiet, because I need that in my day, because my days are always blah 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 blah. You know?
Can I show a shot real quick of what it looks like right now, or at least a week ago?
Yeah,
I'll drag that into the shot here. You guys can see. So it's a guest house, and boy, that crap on that shot does not look right, but you can sort of see it.
Hey, it's there.
There. Yeah, look at that thing. It's it was a guest house, and we're turning it into like a downstairs studio and upstairs sort of guest room / man cave. It's going to be amazing. Plus, you blew out the ceiling and turned it into a vaulted ceiling.
Yeah, so we're trying to get one of those library ladders so you can kind of go up and, you know, I'd like to plug a couple of old radios in up there. And I still want to get a hold of an old on-air or recording studio, a recording light for the when you go in the room.
We got those.
We'll find you that. No problem.
It's an homage to the broadcasters. I do need one of those. And so I just want it to feel like we're doing a 1940s radio play. I want that sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what draws me to that era, but it does, and it makes me feel comfortable and relaxed when I'm working. And the worst thing for me to get in behind a mic is when I'm uptight, and I'm tight here.
Right.
Resonance goes away right off the bat if you're kind of feeling stressed or you're trying to do something in a hurry, and I don't want to feel that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's a question from Sheldon Romero. I've heard that videos and animation are starting to use real voices as opposed to cartoon voices. Is that true? Are you seeing that at all?
Well, it depends on what this show is. Like, we're doing, a lot of the Marvel stuff. Doing Avengers right now, and it's all very. There's no cartoony at all. It's very very real. But there are some shows will specifically say, we don't want cartoony, or this is a very cartoony show. So sometimes you get a chance to, you know, go crazy like this and do all kinds of weird stuff, and it's cartoony. And or you just lay right back and don't do anything, and you can just do your regular voice. But it's more about acting and pulled back. So there's both kinds. Depends what show it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And what age group it's for?
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, the age group.
And the younger it is, the slower things get. We're going to talk like this so you can process everything quickly. That's the really younger one.
Exactly.
Yeah, really. So what are you working on right now?
Let me see here. The Ratchet and Clank feature film is coming out in 2015. We're still doing that. And Avengers is going for a second season, and I'm playing Iron Man's the computer. And of course, I've forgotten the name of that. Yes, Jarvis. Thank you.
And see, that's the problem. We moved the show to Monday, and so by this time of the day, your brain is complete putty mush.
Yeah, I don't see the regular show, but the giant baby Reginald is more of a regular character, and then we're doing Ben 10, another series, which is an ongoing fun series, which play a bunch of aliens, one of the main bad guys on that show, and that's been a ton of fun, too.
Yeah, I'm scared to say that I've actually watched that.
Yeah, I've seen the first few episodes, and I'm terrible. I've hardly seen the video games I've done. I'm awful.
Really?
I'm bad at that. I don't want to sort of see things that I think I could have done better, and then I hear them, and I'm always, sometimes I'm disappointed, and... I don't know. They keep bringing me back in, so I guess that's a good sign.
I'd usually take that as a good one. Yeah, that's interesting. You say that you really don't watch it. Have you ever played any of the games?
Ratchet and Clank was the first one I played all the way through, and I was so thrilled that I stayed up all night to play the game. I sat down at 8 o'clock in the evening and thought, "Oh, I got nothing going on tonight. Let's see what this is about." And I got through the game. 7 a.m. the next morning, I crawled into bed and I woke my wife up and said, "I did it. I got the bad guy." I felt I accomplished something, but then I realized I accomplished really nothing except staying up all night. I got hooked on the game, and I began to, I'm glad I did, because now I understood the characters as Clank, the little robot I play, he talks, "Ratchet, we must find Captain Core quickly." And it's that robot voice I'm using all the way through.
Sounds like Woody Allen is a robot.
Yeah, little Allen. Where's Ratchet?
I know this answer already, but are you a gearhead, and are you using like crazy equipment in your studio?
I know you know that answer. I'm useless. My good buddy Stephen J. Sisk has been helping me out. Things have all come in here, and something will not be working. Like, I'll be on the phone, Steve. We're offline. Why are we offline? And it'll be something as silly as, did you turn the computer on? when that has been the case, I'm not great. I like to sort of set it and forget it. I don't know.
I agree with that tremendously. Yes.
And so George, I mean, you know, when you come in here and you help me out when we got things going, it was like the angels are singing. I'm like, this is good. All I want to do is come in and turn this button on and that one, and the lights flash, and I'm good. And my day is great. But if something's off and wrong, it really throws me for a loop. So I'm not a gearhead, but I'd like to learn.
Well, you know what?
You don't have to.
You don't have to. You can keep me in a job and Steve.
It's open. Yeah, well, yes, exactly.
No, I always tell my clients, you know, if you want to learn the technology of it, if it gets you off, or it's fun, or you're really intrigued, please, by all means, you know. But if you like acting and you like being a great actor and you just don't want to waste your life learning how to do all this boring stuff that we do, you know, don't go there.
It's not boring. You know, I got to drop Howard Kogan's name here, because Howard is a very, very close friend of mine.
Great guy.
We broadcasting together, and you did his studio.
He's been a guest, too.
And of course, Howard is a gearhead, and Howard's the kind of guy we'll call up and, "Dude, you haven't got the new iPhone yet? Dude, you got the Chumby? The Chumby? What the hell's a Chumby? I just started learning to tweet. I don't know what a tweet is." And then now the Chumby's old news, and he's got the new thing. So between you and Howard, I mean, I've got everything covered that I need to know. And Steve, so I'm good. I'll be told when I'm out of sync or I'm not relevant, and I'll change it.
Right.
Yeah. Keeping relevant is a tough job. Technology.
Yeah. So did you get the jingle from Roy there, George?
I did.
Okay. Well, we're gonna say goodnight then, David. This has been great talking to you, and we'll have you on again. And we'll talk more about animation and all the great stuff that you're doing. But thanks for being with us tonight. We have a special treat as we usher you out, though.
Oh, cake. There's cake.
There is. Well, sort of.
We forgot to bake a cake.
Yeah. We knew you were coming, but we forgot.
Actually, one of our regulars in the chat room actually recorded this jingle I'm about to play. He was the engineer on it. So he sent it to me by email just now. I've flown it in, and I'll play it as we come out of the come into the break here.
But thanks for being with us, David.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks a lot, David.
All right, thank you.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, robots in disguise. The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Somehow I've heard that one before, fairly recently.
I couldn't help it. I had to play that one.
Yes. Well, you know, we have a great time on our show every week, talking to some great people and talking about gear, which I think is one of the things that George and I, of course, like talking the most about. And when you're talking about gear, you're going to talk about getting the best stuff for your studio. And the best place to go is there's only one place. Everybody say it together. VoiceOverEssentials.com. Go on over to VoiceOverEssentials.com because Harlan Hogan, H2, as those of us who know him well will call him, has all the best stuff, easy to find. Put on that website there, George, so we can see what's special this week over over VoiceOverEssentials.com. And, I mean, he's got great stuff. Of course, if you haven't tried it, try the VO1A microphone. Mm-hmm. Now, I see a couple of interesting things here. Now, I see... of course, we talked about the ABS last week, the jock strap for your boom arm. also, of course, the Portabooth Plus, which is a great unit, by the way. Very, very nice unit.
And just so you know, he doesn't just carry his own stuff because he has this ever-growing stable of products. But he does carry, like, if he finds a pop screen that he thinks is particularly good and is a good value, he'll carry that pop screen. So right now he's got the Avantone PS1. Pro Shield Studio Pop Filter.
Just for $34.
Yeah, it's a nice deal because it's a steel or metal grill screen. And I know a lot of people like those for various reasons. Some find it to be extremely transparent. Some people like that it's easy to wash and clean because you can just kind of run it under the sink. And it's pretty big, so it'll fit and cover. It has sort of a curve to it. It's concave. So it's pretty neat design.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So, if you need it, he has it. Simple as that. And if he doesn't have it, he still has it because he can find it for you. They'll find it for you. What was it? Garrison Keillor says, if we don't have it, you probably don't need it.
That's right.
So, anyway. So, voiceoveressentials.com. Go over there, buy his stuff, tell him that we here at EWAB sent you.
Absolutely.
All right. See how tight this format is now?
Keeping it rolling. I love it. I love keeping the momentum going. You know what I mean?
I know. It's sort of like, in radio, it's like, oh, we got to get to the top of the hour here. Okay, can I time it out right?
Well, I'd love to thank our donors. You guys have been great supporting our show. It's been really a pleasure to continue to do this, and you guys have helped us tremendously.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Thank you. It's between our sponsors and our donors. You guys keep us alive, and you keep that Ustream bill down, and it's been great. Actually, on another note, we have the ability to now stream onto YouTube directly.
Outstanding.
So I'm going to check into that. Apparently, if your show or YouTube channel has over 100 subscribers, you can stream live on YouTube now. So I'm looking forward to giving that a try. And thanks to you guys following us and subscribing to us on YouTube. We do have that number 100. Actually, we've got over 260 subscribers now. So thank you so much. That is obviously the best way to catch the show when you're not able to watch us live. So,
But if you can watch it live on YouTube,
even cooler, right?
Even cooler, because it's still easy to get into the chat room and chat with us there. And,
it's going to make my life easier, because when the show's over, it's already on YouTube. It's already there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that part too. But
absolutely.
What's going on with Studio Suit? I know I've got someone eagerly awaiting one for you from you out here on the.
I know it's we've been very busy with VoiceOver Virtual the last couple of weeks. I have to get into the warehouse and cut it up. I've got a couple, and so I want to make sure that I can get it out to my customers. But it's I know she'll love it when she gets it.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's custom made stuff. I do it myself with my own little hands. So you have to wait on that.
It's craft. But, it's a craft. It's a.
It's blisters right here.
Yeah, it's definitely a labor of love. And you guys need to be following. You got to like us on Facebook. We have East West Audio Body Shop page. We are on Twitter at EWABS_show. And, of course, as I said, subscribe on YouTube and you won't miss a thing. And if you can be here live with us on 6
on
o'clock.
On
Monday nights, the chat room is a blast. And we have a great chat room. It's really easy to use. So we'd love to have you join us here and be a part of the interactive part of EWABS and ask questions of our guests and all that stuff.
Like David Kay. He was great. What a great guy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Wish we had more time with him. Next week, we've got the Poker Classic this coming up on the 24th. You don't want to miss that if you're out in the L.A. area. Next week, we're going to do a hangout. So if you want to join us in a Google Hangout, email us and make your reservation, and we'll have a chat with our normal audience and answer your questions, and because George and I love to answer questions.
ewabsshop@gmail.com.
That's right. And then on September 2nd, it's Labor Day. So we'll let all you little good socialists have your day off, and we'll take it off too. And then on September 9th, we have Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal. Who are they? Well, they're actors, animators, and authors of VoiceOver Behind the Mic.
Oh,
so,
cool. You know, we just added, which I found out about today,
Rachel McFarlane,
who many of you may not know, but she has a pretty famous brother you might have heard of.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane. So she does voices on his show, you know, on Family Guy and all that. And she's married to an old friend from Philadelphia. Spencer, yeah, this guy's, he's an animator for their show. So I finally got to work with her recently, just sort of helped her with Twisted Wave and got her, weaned her off Pro Tools. Man, she was happy. She was so happy when she saw how easy Twisted Wave was.
Oh, absolutely.
And she said she'd love to join us. So I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right. Well, nice and tight. That's the way we want it. It's only 10:02.
That's right.
Or 7:02 if you're out west.
That's right.
Or 5:02 if you're, I don't know, somewhere.
Dan, and we are going to do an Audio Masters Roundtable this fall. We try to do one each quarter. We did a summer one, so we're due for a fall one. So stay tuned. We'll keep you guys posted. It'll probably be sometime end of August, something like that.
Yes, we also have to do one for VoiceOver Virtual, which we have to record, and which will be really good. So
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. VoiceOver Virtual coming up in September 18th. You can still sign up. We'd love to have you over at VoiceOver Virtual if you want to hear from 50 different presentations from great people. Pat Fraley and Mark Cashman and MJ Lalo and Beverly Bremers and Betty Zoller and all sorts of people. It goes on and on and on and on. Just great half-hour lectures by some of the best people in the business. Go over to voiceovervirtual.com and sign up over there. You don't have to fly anywhere. It's like going to a conference. You get to meet other people. It'll be great.
Pretty nifty.
Anyway, I think that's going to do it for this week. But we're always here at ewabshop@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Send in your audio. Send in your questions. Good night, George.
Good night, Dan.
I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Woodham in the West.
And good night to all of you out there. Have yourselves a great week. We'll see you next Monday night doing a hangout, so join us.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.